So we've got a few minutes. I want to invite our three speakers this morning, Joey, Fiona, and Cole, to come forward. And all three of them, as you can see from the picture under order of service, were at the recent March for Our Lives in D.C. And I want to invite them to each share a little about what it meant for them to be there and just to share some reflections back to this congregation.
So did all of you see pictures from the March of Our Lives? Yay, awesome. So it was huge. It was like massive, and I'd never seen anything like it. And if you were somewhere in the middle, you could look behind you and not see the end of the crowd. And that was incredible. Like, whoa, there's so many people here supporting this cause. And what was even more incredible was that it wasn't just like one group of people. It was people from all walks of life, all places. People came in from all over the place. People came in. I saw there was, if you got the March for Our Lives, like, app thing, people were posting, like, where they were coming from. There were people coming from, like, Canada. I was like, whoa, you have the time and money to come here for one day? Like, wow. But that was really incredible to see all of these people from different walks of life out protesting for the same cause. Because it really dumbs down to the fact that bullets don't discriminate. And guns have one purpose, and that is to kill and end lives. And it doesn't matter it does matter whose life it was, but it could be anyone. It could be anyone you know who's dying from gun violence. So it was just incredible to see all these people here working towards a better and safer world for all of us.
I agree with Joey that there's power in numbers. There could be one person that believes in something, but if there are 800,000 people that believe the same thing all together in one place, that's even more powerful. And there's this quote that I really like. It was that the power of the people can overcome the people in power, and I really like that. And I think that really kind of reflected what happened at the march, that there were so many people, like you said, you could look back and you would not see the end of it. It was just like a sea of people who were all there to support this change that is really important for us, I think.
I thought it was just like really cool how, like Joey said, there were people from like everywhere coming to this one place with this one idea that they're all trying to like push out there, and like all these like chants that were going on, like this is just one idea that all these people are so in favor of, and it was cool.
And we'd never seen anything like that, I don't think. I mean, have you guys seen anything like that before? But what was especially cool was that it was almost 100% student run, and all of the speakers were students. I think they were all under 19 or 20. But that was really, really cool. And it was inspiring because you would think, well, if these kids can come out and speak their minds so bravely and courageously, then anyone can go out and do something to create a better world. So I hope that seeing, at least either being at the March for Our Lives or seeing pictures from it, will inspire all of you guys to go out and like do something. Do something for justice. And it can be something small, but making a post on Facebook or Instagram is not going to do anything. So volunteer somewhere. Donate money if you have any. Donate time. Like, just do something, because we're not going to make change if we can't all be there to help. So thank you.
Yeah, I shared in the first service as well. Some of you may know the term slacktivism. You know, there's activism and there's slacktivism. And slacktivism sort of can make you feel like you've done something when you haven't really done anything. And activism tries to get to how do you actually leverage power and win and advance the values that you're advocating for. And certainly I think social media is a part of that. That's part of how the March for Our Lives came together. But then as Joey, I think, and others were rightly saying, there's next steps about using that coalition that you've built to register people to vote, to get them to the polls, to run for office. That there are next steps that are the leverage, power, and win part. I want to open it up further, including to other members of the youth group. We have just a few minutes, few moments really, for just raise your hand. I'll come to you if you have something that's really stood out to you today.
To those young people who have come here and led, get used to that. We need you.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Dave, and especially and looking at the March for Lives, for those of you who were there, I think I'm right about this roughly. It started about 8 minutes late and ended about 10 minutes early. That's incredibly impressive for, and I mean, I've been to a lot of things like that that did not, it ran incredibly smoothly. Everyone was on point. Every speaker was incredibly moving and meaningful. It was, I agree with you. That's what, Ben.
Thank you. First off, I'm so proud of you all, and I'm so glad that you allowed me to help you today. One of the things that I was thinking about having attended the march, and you know, I appreciate that Joey pointed out that students and young people have been at the forefront of progressive movements for decades, but where I think this generation is really special and is really getting it is the idea of intersectionality, and that if you saw the speeches at the march, that there were, first off, they were checking their own privilege constantly and about how the reason that they were getting such attention was that they were from an affluent, largely white neighborhood in Florida, and that because of that, they brought, you know, African Americans and people from inner cities and people from different socioeconomic groups and made the point that this is, you know, that there is an intersectionality between these various groups and that one person's fight is every person's fight and that, you know, if, and that gun control also impacts racism and impacts socioeconomic issues and that, you know, we can't just isolate ourselves. And I think, you know, this generation is really going to lead us and is going to point us in the right way. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah, that how do we work not in competing oppressions, but in coalitions for collective liberation? Absolutely. Final comment? Yeah, Pinnock, we'll let you have the last word before the benediction.
I just read a report or a news item on a report that has just come out, not from the Department of Education, but from another governmental agency, that points out that the majority of disciplinary actions in our school system are against African Americans and people with disabilities of all types. And I sit here listening to these teens. If we can survive the next 3 years, there is hope.
I agree, and some of them can vote in November, so there's hope. So as we continue to work on the systemic level, don't forget also to see what can you do in your daily life, that as you go from here and the next person you encounter after you leave this building and this property and the next, that how can you also affect change on that level to continue your journey with love, to care for one another, to care for this one earth, to do justice, to make peace, and that as you go, whatever taste or touch you've had in this time and place of hope, of love, or peace, of joy, that goes with you out from the world. We're different for having spent this time together, for having listened to these young people. So take that with you. May you live boldly and with thanksgiving.